Hello, girls and theys, and welcome back to Astro Hotline. Today we are going to be talking about several things because there's a lot going on. There's literally so much going on. I first want to say a thank you to everyone who's been listening to this podcast. Currently, I'm at 600 listeners, so hopefully by the time this episode gets uploaded, we can gather in hopefully 400 more and maybe hit 1,000. That can be a little bit overambitious, but I'm really down for it. Shooting big just in time for this Jupiter entering Sag. We also have, we might as well just get into it. So we have a new moon in Scorpio happening this week. We have Uranus shifting into Aries. We have North Node going into Cancer. There's just so much going on. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I'll think about it when it comes back into my head. So also within this week, we have voting. Literally by the time this episode gets uploaded, it will be voting day. And I want to remind everyone that this day can be very, very stressful and very scary. This day will dictate the political landscape that will sort of be formulated and hopefully changes will be made. Judging by the aspects or the transits and what's going on astrologically forming around this time, tells me there's going to be a lot of energy within the public being exerted. I'm not really sure if it's going to be positive or it's going to be more geared towards a resistant and negative reaction, but we will see, right? We will see how the events fold out. This is a time where, you know, we get really nervous because, again, like, I mean, even though political parties and really people judging if voting really does anything effective, no matter what, it's going to be a very transformative time. I mean, literally the legislation is going to be redrawn. We have new governors hopefully coming in, especially in the state of Florida, which I'm hoping that we have a Democratic governor. It's been a very long time since Florida's had a Democratic governor, and we really need one. We do. So I'm really nervous about the outcomes that will be happening. And also the stress carried with, you know, finding time to vote, the long lines, potential mishaps at the polling stations, being prevented from voting, all those things can be very nerve-wracking. Researching on the amendments or the things pertaining into your district and the candidates and all that responsibility can be overwhelming. But it is, and honestly, like, just like voting, going out and like putting in your perspective of who the lawmakers of your district and who, you know, your state should be, is voicing, is demonstrating agency, and it's voicing an opinion demanding to be heard. And so we will see if, you know, what happens and what unfolds. I'm really nervous and also very excited. I don't know why, but I'm remaining hopeful for the time being. So in terms of astrology, we have a new moon in Scorpio occurring this week. I think it's occurring the day after voting. So on the 7th of November. And we all know that Scorpio is a very transformative time, and we all know new moons are centered on new beginnings. So this time is going to be an incredibly fruitful time to make amends with whatever has happened in the past, because you will feel reverberations of that, be reintroduced to situations that have been correlated with those, with that event, feeling, traumatic event, whatever it is. And your responsibility is to let that go so that you can move on and rebuild your life. This is all about rebuilding. If it's rebuilding yourself, rebuilding your relationships, rebuilding your confidence, your outlooks in life. This is a time to really kind of figure out what healing you need so that you can move forward. And that you can, you know, do the necessary work, the necessary intentions that you will make to yourself to make sure that you reach at that point, whatever it may be. And all of these changes are going to be profound, whether they're small or whether they're big. You know, for me personally, right around this new moon, I'm going into preliminary stages of becoming a vegan and, reconfiguring my diet, cutting things out gradually. And I know it's not going to happen right away. And that's the thing. This new moon in Scorpio, it's not going to be like this one big, gigantic, transformative event is going to happen and that be that. You know, it's not like going to be the fucking big bang. It's not going to be like that. People have this like expectation that, you know, this new moon being in the sign of a transformative Scorpio is just going to create this immense energy of transformation and you're going to be anew by the next day or like the end of the week. No, this is going to be the time where you take the first step. And that step can be very small. That step can be like, okay, I'm finally going to go into therapy. That step can be, okay, I'm finally going to cut this out of my diet. The step could be figuring out what type of health issue you have or what's been holding you back or realizing what friends aren't good for you anymore. This is all about realizing and having revelation that's ultimately going to reconfigure your life in some type of way and being honest with the choices that you make in response to that. So in one way or another, don't give up. You know, this is going to be a time, you know, Scorpio is Martian ruled. It's all about adversity, being confronted with adverse situations, being confronted with a conflict or something that's not good for you anymore. This is a time of separation. When we think of Mars, we think of separating things. We think of Venus, we think of binding things. So with this new moon representing beginnings, it's important and it's necessary that we separate from all the bad shit so that we can get into the correct headspace so that we can work towards the good shit. So that's basically the simple summary of the new moon in Scorpio. I'm going to take a sip of my water because I'm already running out of voice. So, on top of this new moon in Scorpio, when this new moon will be occurring, Jupiter will be in its last, let me see where Jupiter is right now. I think Jupiter is in the 28th degree of Scorpio currently, but I'm just going to double check on my Time Passages app. So, it's in 29 degrees Scorpio. So it's almost out of the sign going into its home sign of Sag. So, I'm not really sure on the exact date when Jupiter finally enters into Sagittarius. I do know that it is, this new moon will be occurring on the same time that, Jupiter will still be in Scorpio, but moving into Sagittarius. So again, we have that last remnants of Jupiter before it goes into Sagittarius and gives us all these new big blasts of information of, perspectives, and this is where you would kind of associate like a big bang. You know, Jupiter's this really big, expansive planet. You know, it represents a lot of things, more than just luck. Because I know a lot of people like to associate luck with Jupiter, but it's more than that. Jupiter is associated with charity, it's associated with wealth, both literally in money and also in intellectualism and creativity. And communication, and it's all about widening your borders and immersing yourself in your space. It doesn't like to be dictated by other people, so it's really claiming your freedom, claiming again your agency and your willingness to act, your willingness to share. Sharing your perspective and listening to other people and kind of figuring out patterns of everyone's experiences and kind of forming a body. And this body can be something that's useful to, you know, for resistance, you know, just merely by sharing. When Jupiter entered into Scorpio, we had the Me Too movement sort of arising. And sort of that's a really good example of being able to share your experiences related to traumatic events and using that body as a terrain of resistance. And that's going to be the same messages reverberated in the its transit into Sagittarius, a sign really focused on progressive action activism and tolerance, being welcoming of diverse backgrounds, is really just in time for a really important date of, you know, voting and where that's going to lead us and all these political issues, put, you know, being at the forefront. Interestingly, Jupiter also represents, you know, lawmaking and our laws and philosophy. And it's just so much more than how much luck you're going to get in your career or in your life. However, you know, this time is going to be a really prosperous time. It's going to be a good time. And I feel like it's a reward for all the shit that we've been doing this entire year. You know, we had a eclipse, like three eclipses or something, a lot of, you know, Mars going retrograde, Venus going retrograde. And obviously, you know, we always have like the Mercury retrograde happening. But this is a time where this transit is going to be really good. It's going to give us a lot of things to look forward to. Depending on where it's happening in your house is really going to indicate prosperity in that particular event. So, or in that particular subject matter of where the house is concerned. So, for example, if you had a Sagittarius, I'm just going to say in your 10th house, and Jupiter is kind of going into your 10th house, this is indicating a lot of prosperity related to career and your future. It's good openings, opportunities for taking the next step in terms of, you know, how to get to your designated career, a potential for accounting and internships and like networking and getting involved in higher ups and working towards, you know, getting positions and things like that. So everything concerning jobs, careers, and kind of formulating a good reputation, and people, you know, will view you as sort of this. It's a really good time to go for job interviews because Jupiter in the 10th house of, this is also the house of perception. People will perceive you in a very positive light. They will like you. They won't be repulsed by you. There's, you know, and also you will kind of wing into that confidence because people are perceiving you in such a good way that it's going to reflect in yourself and you're going to start, you know, exercising that same positivity and that same perception. You'll start believing it and, you know, really kind of exercising in it. So again, wherever Jupiter's kind of, you know, transiting in your chart, whatever house, this is going to be a very profound time. And it's going to be a time to be open. That's the most that you can do with the Jupiter entering into Sagittarius. Mercury is also in Sag as well. And so with Jupiter and Mercury kind of, you know, conjuncting and doing its thing. I don't know if it's conjuncting. Let me see where Mercury is right now. Okay, Mercury is in 6 degree Sag. So when they meet up and they're conjuncting, again, it's really going to be a really profound time to share your story, to let other people talk and also respect boundaries, because the downside of this Jupiter transit is that it revels in having so much space and being so free that it tends to override sort of the ethical standards, the boundaries that people, you know, lie within themselves or within particular areas of their lives. And it's very easy to get consumed by an activity or consumed by something that seems really good. The gluttonous aspect of Jupiter can really be defined during this time for some of us. So it's important to set boundaries for yourself to, you know, if you have Jupiter transiting through your sixth house, it's really important to put boundaries into your daily life, into areas of work and obligation, also in your diets, because there is the potential to overconsume food and basically anything that goes into your body. So it's very important to, you know, lay boundaries in for that, especially the way that we communicate with each other. So with Mercury conjuncting to Jupiter, we're just going to want to talk. We're just going to want to chat and like discuss things. But the potential that could happen during this time is Mercury in ways can represent our ego because it's really so concerned with wanting to express itself. You know, one of the ways that we express our identity is through communication. Jupiter, adding its influence, is going to want to, you know, make this urge stronger. And it's going to make us go into this soapbox moment where we just want to, like, talk, like a monologue and, like, ignore everyone else's perspectives and views. And the worst thing that could possibly happen is you just sort of being ignorant of allowing other people into the conversation and dominating the narrative. So that is sort of the negative downside that could happen during this transit. And that's why it's so important to implement listening during this time, as well as being able to communicate and being able to talk, but active listening, taking what people say, and welcoming all perspectives. Because when you only allow one, you neglect all the diversity of the particular subject. You neglect all of the, and with neglecting the diversity of information, you're sort of neglecting the validity of it. So be open, you know, this is the time to kind of like talk about shit, talk about real shit that's happening. This is like going to expand your worldview on very big concepts. You know, things like politics, which is like the perfect time to discuss politics. There's going to be so many fucking think pieces after the election. I think with the Mercury conjunction, Jupiter is really just, there's going to be an overage, like a massive amount. And lastly, we have Uranus going into, well, not lastly, but we have Uranus going into Aries. So Uranus is in retrograde, or it's retrograding, I think, still. And because it's retrograding, it's going backwards, and so it's going into, from the sign of Taurus to the sign of Aries. And it will be there until, I think, March. And then after Aries, after it leaves Aries, it will not enter, I repeat, it will not enter Aries until another 84 years. That's a long time. It's a very, very long time. Uranus is very, in ways, it's like it's a wild card because it's so disruptive. Uranus is all about Jupiter. Uranus is all about electricity. And so it's all about rebellion, revolution, individuality, very fierce on claiming agency and being in its own, being like self-sufficient and not relying on anyone, but also working towards group efforts. So with this going into Aries, it's really going to emphasize the self-sufficiency, because Aries is, you know, the first sign of the zodiac. It's really focused on individualism, particularly the ego and creation. So this is a really good time to, I mean, this is going to bring in new ideas. It's going to bring in new urgency to get shit done. It's going to, if you are a content creator, it's going to be a really good time to kind of revel in those juices. They're going to be flowing. But, you know, it's Uranus, so it could go either way. This could be a really, like, you know, bad time, and it's in a Martian sign, so the rebellions and the revolutions are going to be very separative and very polarizing events. So, yes, I mean, if there is, like, an uprising that happens this week, or I don't even know, but if something were to happen the next couple of weeks, or the time it leaves in March, it could be very, very polarizing. When you think of the Civil War, which I think Uranus was in Aries, it was a very polarizing war, very separative, literally in the United States, the Union or whatever. There was literally two sides against each other. So think of that in terms of like modern times, of like how you have like all this stuff happening with like white nationalism and them like wanting to like preserve Western civilization, and then everyone else who has like brains are like, no, like, let's not do that. That could escalate. You know, Aries is a sign of war. It's a sign of confrontation and separation. So you could definitely could see that happening and kind of materializing during the time that Uranus is in the sign, which can be very scary. I know a lot of us don't want that. I mean, there is potential of that happening. And so this is the time to kind of really firm your ground on what you believe in and sticking up for it and being confrontational about it, you know? Like, own your politics. So the last thing that's happening is sort of the North Node going into Cancer. And so a lot of people don't talk about the North Node. I mean, sometimes, but usually in specific contexts, like talking about like a twin flame or something stupid like that. I don't really believe in twin flames, so that's why I called it stupid. But North Node in Cancer. So this is going to be a really great time. Again, Cancer is all about, in ways, it's all about creation. It's a cardinal sign, and it's really kind of stabilizing yourself in that creation. North Node is sort of the... I would say the good part of the axis. So the South Node, I think, is what's setting us back from our goals and like inhibiting us of where we need to go. And so the North Node in Cancer is really going to promote this idea of, you know, grounding yourself. And again, kind of staying firm in your boundaries and how much attention you're going to give to something, and how much help and nurturing you're going to give to another person, while also preserving that same regard for yourself. Because it's easy, and you know, it's particularly in the sign of Cancer, to worry about other people and neglect that same urgency for yourself. And so that's why, you know, Cancers can be somewhat of a mess. Like, you know, they oftentimes forget themselves in the equation. So this is a time to try and work towards self-love. And I think that is there's a lot of energy supporting around, you know, reorienting yourself, putting yourself first, being, I wouldn't say selfish, and this is not the time to be completely selfish, but to be mindful of your own existence, because you're you, and like, you're in this body, you're in this life, and it's very easy to lose sight of that. So this is a time to confirm it and to act wholly and authentically to yourself. All right, so the second segment of this is going to be questions. We're going to take a little quick break, and I'll see you soon. Hello and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the break. So this is going to be the Q&A segment of Astro Hotline, where I'll be answering some of your questions. I create a form where all my followers on Twitter could send in a few sentences, whatever, about what they're going through. And, you know, some of the questions are a simple help me to some that are very risque. So let's get into it. The first question belongs to Veronica, and she wants to know how to end a major cycle, aka the World card in tarot, with some grace and positive energy. So if you're unfamiliar with tarot, the World card represents completeness, and it's the last card in the major arcana, and the first card in the major arcana is the Fool. So you have that beginnings and then completion. So when you are at the end of a major cycle, the first thing you need to do is to confirm that you are at the end of a major cycle, whatever that may be. And typically this happens with a revelation, with a sense of confidence, like, yes, I'm at this point, I'm at this finishing line, and whatever I do now is going to take me to the next step. So that also comes with a lot of, again, confidence, a lot of that you have handled what you need to have handled in that particular situation or events. And then saying, I'm going to move on from this. And that will be that. So it's not really surprising to me that you feel like you're at the end of a major cycle, because you had a lot of energy in Cancer that was activated this summer. Your moon, your Mars, and your Chiron were activated by the solar eclipse in Cancer, and it was activating your Capricorn energy in, oh my god, the mic, okay. We had some difficulties, now we're back. Okay, it was opposing your energy in Uranus and Neptune and Saturn. Pluto was also making a transit here, and is currently making a transit in your third house, as well as Saturn. So you also had a return happening during this time as well, a Saturn return. So you have been going through a lot, and a lot of his energy was really related to understanding yourself. I feel like you this year has been really about focusing on you and not so much on the people around you. You have the sun and your Venus in your seventh house natally. So you may have been before this year kind of really focusing on other people and sort of your presentation, you know, around those that you consider, you know, acquaintances or that you want to pursue romantically. But this was the year where it's like you really focused on yourself. And a lot of this energy with, you know, Cancer in the ninth house and Capricorn in the third, it's really kind of focusing on revelation information, you know, gaining new information to make the necessary steps to revise, and opening new doors, new perspectives, particularly about yourself. So with the moon and the Mars in this equation and Cancer, as well as Chiron, this is really going into the past, really revisiting, you know, the traumas that you've had when you were a child and making amends with whatever happened or acknowledging what has happened and then being able to move forward and look upward for prosperity. The Saturn return that I want to say, let me see, you have an exact, let me look at the degree. Okay, so you have a 13 degree Saturn in Capricorn, and right now, wrong app. So Saturn is in 5 degrees, okay, right now. So you haven't had your exact return yet, so it's happening. And that's going to be a very big time. That's really going to, you know, if whatever, you sound as if though you got things down to a T, so this Saturn return, it's going to be very prosperous for you, I believe. It seems to me that you've done the work you need to do. And that with the Saturn happening and with also, you know, Jupiter entering your second house, you're going to have the resources you need to incorporate, well, not incorporate, but to seek after the next step. With the, not the new moon, the full moon in Taurus that happens a couple weeks ago, transiting through your seventh house really opened a lot of, not opened, but it elevated some conflicts or some feelings surrounding a significant other or the people around you. You may have been going through conflict and you had to kind of mitigate that. But this was a time that you really grounded yourself. Like, that was a really big step of you kind of confirming where you're at and that you're happy that you're here. And that if you are in a relationship, that you've been able to mitigate the conflict and also, you know, understand yourself apart from the relationship because your sun is in here. You have the sun in the seventh house in Taurus. And so with that being affected by the full moon, it really kind of elevated a further crisis, but you knew at the end, you knew exactly what to do. So I would say you're definitely, it seems your chart supports that you're at an end of a major cycle and that, you know, with these new transits happening, especially with that Jupiter hitting Sag, that's going to be the beginning of a new task because you're going to be gaining materials and then it's up to you to do whatever you want with those materials that's going to benefit whatever the next step may be, whatever the next major cycle may be. So hopefully that helps, Veronica, and thank you so much for sending in your question. So the second question belongs to, and I'm sorry if I butcher the pronunciation, Layla? Layla? I apologize for mispronouncing. So your question, so Laila wants to know, I'm having difficulty figuring out what I want out of my life. I have a need for stability, but at the same time, I can't figure out any career choice that won't bore me out of my mind eventually. My Gemini midheaven is killing me, basically. Completely agree. Gemini midheaven, you know, Gemini in the 10th house, in terms of what it wants in career aspirations, it just wants to be stimulated. So it takes on different careers, and you may find a lot of freelance writers, you know, have a Gemini midheaven because they typically work well with information, but they don't like being tied down to an office job or a commitment, really. They want to kind of like float around and do what they want and spread information as they please. So that is something to keep in mind. If you are into freelancing and you like being your own boss and doing all the type of things, let me look at your chart. I have it saved. So yeah, you have a Mars aspect with Uranus in the 11th house and Leo. So you like being in charge of your own business. Businesses can fit into the 11th house, corporations, the business finances, technically. You like being in charge of that. You want to dictate your own route. And so I would say maybe think about freelancing, whatever particular, if that can fit into a field that you're into. It can be for art as well if you're into art. I don't know if you're into writing, art, or whatever. But freelancing seems to be something that you might be interested in doing. Also, you know, Jupiter is sort of hitting your third house. So again, that may be a good time for creativity and kind of bursting with more, you know, being more stimulated. However, you need stability. That's what you want. So let's look into where we can see that. So this new moon is going to be hitting your second house. So the second house is all about security. And so it doesn't really surprise me. That's something that's on your mind. So what you need to do is, with the Scorpio moon, 0 degree Scorpio, and this new moon is happening within, I think, the 15 degree Scorpio. And so very loose conjunction. I don't think I would even consider it a conjunction, but you're still going to be affected. This is, you know, the new moon is going to be in the sign of your natal. And so you may feel some type of, I mean, we're all going to be feeling something. And this is a really good time to kind of stay inside, not really do anything, but wait for the inspiration to strike you. You may feel, this is a good time to kind of be in your little like workspace and kind of revise or like plan new things out, start new projects. Like, this is going to be a time where you can kind of figure out what you want to do. And it will make you slow down. If you feel like you're, you know, up and about and you're like about to burst with energy, which, you know, could definitely feel like that with all that Leo and that Scorpio moon and that Gemini midheaven acting up, this is going to be a time to where you will be like halted and being forced to kind of lay down, be in your little like cave and relax. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like actually relaxing and like sleeping, although you could do that. But this energy is really going to be good for brainstorming. I really feel like really good time to brainstorm and really figure out what you want out of your life. And that can be a really like hard question to answer. Let me look at your rising. So your rising is in Virgo. And so obviously, you know, the sense of urgency, like I need the answer. It's okay not to know right away. You know, we're at this like stage, you know, at a certain age where, you know, you're told like you have to figure out what you want to do in life by the time you get into college, you know, and you're still in college or you're still like in that preliminary stage of, you know, youthful 20s, and you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, and everyone's screaming in your ear. And so with, you know, having a Virgo rising, this is how you approach the world, basically. And the perspective of Virgo rising, it's like you have to have an answer. You have to have this route. And sometimes, you know, having a precise one route isn't always a good thing. Have options open. You know, let them come to you. Or if you see them, if you feel an option coming, then go after it. Hopefully that answers your question. Thank you so much for hitting up the forum, Leila. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. I feel so bad. So the next question, our third question, goes to Kaylee. And so Kaylee wants to know, and this is where the questions start to become a little bit more dramatic. My roommate backs at me, and honestly, I don't know what to do or how to feel. I want to be petty, but also am trying to let go. Stuck in the lease for the next 6 months. Roommate is a Sagittarius. Any advice? Okay. So, I mean, obviously, I would definitely not. I would definitely let it go. Whenever you're going through those conflicts, whenever you have, like, shitty roommates or whatever you may have, it's best, like, it's easy to kind of be petty because you can in that situation. Like, it's justified. But also, why would you? I mean, what is it going to do? What is it, like, they're backing out of a lease, okay. But it's best not to perpetuate that same type of energy. So, oh, okay, you're stuck in the lease for the next 6 months. Okay, so I was in a very similar situation, and this is where we're going to get into storytelling. So I had a very shitty roommate. I had two shitty roommates in the beginning of my third year in the fall semester. And I've had these shitty roommates. One of them went abroad for the spring semester, but the other shitty one, who was the shittiest out of the two of them, stayed as my roommate until the summer, this past summer. And that's a very long time. I had to stay with this bitch for a couple of months. And I was about to lose my mind. So at a certain time, when I realized that there was no point in negotiating or, you know, amending whatever conflict, and it was mostly just because she didn't like me or she didn't like my lifestyle, or, you know, she hated me and my other good roommate who I'm friends with. Like, it was really just her kind of having a vendetta against us. And at a certain point, it's like you could put your energy in being a bitch back to whoever is giving you a hard time. But at the end of the day, like, what is it gonna do? You know? Just be in your space and just stay in your space. Ignore whatever type of disturbance is around you. And just that be that. Looking at your chart. Okay, so a Leo rising. So it's like you want to rise up with aggression. You want to be petty. Especially with that Mars right on the ascendant line. Like, you want to proceed with action. That feels like the first step, you know, kind of being confrontational. However, it's also in opposition to Uranus and to Neptune. So whatever action that you could take, remember that it could potentially backstab you. So hopefully that will deter you from whatever petty action you may immerse yourself in. Just stay focused on yourself. Stay focused on whatever you're doing. Don't give a fuck about your roommate. Just fuck them and move on. Well, say fuck you to them and then just move on. I know it can be very hard to live in a space with someone that you don't like and that doesn't like you back, but it's manageable. I've been through it. It sucks, but you just have to kind of work with what's given to you. And then with this new moon happening in your fourth house, which is your home, this is where you stay, your property, where you're at, there will be some, you may want to consider reamping your place to make it more comfortable to you, to where you will be distracted from your roommate. I don't really see there being, like, someone moving out, but someone could potentially move out, and that will probably be in benefit to you because you won't have to deal with your shitty roommate, but you're kind of stuck in the lease for the next 6 months, so the best thing to do is make your place more comfortable, kind of work around the decorations and just make it more easy for yourself. All right, so thank you so much to Kaylee for asking a question. The last question of the segment goes to Alex, who has a very interesting thing going on. So Alex asks, I have an affair with someone I've loved for years, and the secrecy is driving me fucking crazy. Okay, so that is a lot to digest. I don't even know how to approach that, but I will say this seems like a Venus RX type situation going on. So you have a natal Libra Venus, natal Libra Sun and Mercury, and your Venus seems to have been activated, or has been activated by the Venus RX in Libra, and then it was moving into your 11th house, and now it's back into your 10th house. So with sort of this energy of Venus and like the Sun kind of being provoked by a retrograde transit Venus giving a temptation, you also have a let's see what else you got. You have a moon opposite to Neptune, and the reason why I emphasize this is because this is someone that you've loved for years and that you've probably in some ways have fantasized about this romance, and now that you're here and it's done so in a secret covert way that you're sort of realizing the reality that this doesn't work for me, or that you may like the idea of sort of being in sort of a secret co-opt of, like, you know, an affair of some sort, and kind of giving into temptation. However, this temptation may not be very good, and that it's really just you kind of falling into the idea of sort of being in the situation of being in this scandalous, controversial situation. And I've known people who have, you know, been in this similar predicament, and they know that it's wrong, but they just like being in it. They like being in the climate of it. And so it's important to affirm those boundaries that you're not going to do this. Right? And even though it's someone that you've loved for years, engaging in an affair is not a good thing. And that I think you know that it's not a good thing. So I think it's important to uphold boundaries or put them in place so that you can confirm to yourself and act on those intentions to not do that, to not engage in that action. And this really is just, it just reeks of a Venus RX situation, and that we're kind of, you know, guided by this rawness and this need to kind of act out on desire. And sometimes a desire can shoot its shit back at us. So I definitely would not continue with the affair. Living in secrecy is very stressful. It's something that, you know, you would want to be in. And also with the your 11th house being in Scorpio, this getting out could affect the community that you're part of. The small knit community it could represent, like a circle of friends, this getting out could indicate that transpiring or that materializing. And it could be the person that you're having an affair with is also part of that same tight-knit community. So that could really kind of affect both of y'all's reputation, especially with this energy of Libra also happening in the 10th house, the house of perception and reputation. So with this getting out, it could potentially ruin your name and what you stand for. But it's important to be honest with yourself, right? It's important to be honest with the shit that you've done. So being honest with your partner or the person that you're with, that you've engaged in such action, and owning that. And then no matter what the consequences may be, it's important to act on what you think is right. Because with this, you know, this Libra energy in your chart, it tells me that you have a sense of value. You definitely have a sense of what is right and wrong. But now it's important to be true to those values. And if you feel like those values don't align with engaging in an affair, then it's time to pull out of the affair. So hopefully that answers your question, Alex. And thank you to everyone who sent in questions. That concludes the question segment of Astro Hotline and the episode itself. So I'll see you guys next week.